You're listening to audio from Shandon Baptist Church. If you'd like to check out more resources from us, please visit our website at shandon.org.
Some very important ground that we're going to cover. So if you have your Bible with you, we're in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we do want you to know there are Bibles spread out all over the room here in the backs of the pews. You can grab one of those and look on with us as we walk through this time together. And we would encourage you to do that. We encourage every week that you would turn to the scripture yourself and see for yourself what the Word of God is saying as we walk through this time. Now, as you're turning to Romans 12, I do want to let you know some things that are happening next weekend here at Shandon, because we got a very big weekend next weekend. On Saturday, for all the fellas in the room, we're doing a abbreviated short kind of men's conference on Saturday from breakfast through lunchtime. And so we would encourage you to come, to bring a friend. You can find out more info about that online. But we'll have a light breakfast. We'll have a barbecue lunch. We're going to have a couple of sessions on biblical manhood and what that's all about. And we'd love for you to join us. And it really is one of those great times, an easy time to invite someone to come with you. So guys, please join us next Saturday here at Shandon. And then next Sunday evening, after our morning services, we'll have our first edition of The Well, the worship gathering for the ladies here at Shandon. It'll be our first edition of this new year. And so we would encourage you to come. Those of you who've been with us for The Well before know it's a great night of worship, and you're going to hear a tremendous story of God's grace and God's love. And it will be a great encouragement to you. And so again, a great opportunity to invite someone to join you next week at Shandon. And then we also want you to know next Sunday morning, as a part of both of our services, we'll be having a very special time of kids' baptism, which is always a joy as the kids will join us in the room for that. And so we don't want you to miss that next Sunday morning. But if you're new to Shandon, let me say welcome. We're so glad that you are here and you are joining us as we are in the midst of a series on spiritual warfare. And spiritual warfare is one of those topics that can at times be a little overwhelming, because there is certainly so much about spiritual warfare that we don't see in front of us in a physical expression, but the scripture reveals to us that there is a battle taking place all around us every single day. You could call this the battle between good and evil, the battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. And what we've seen already in this series is that there is a very real enemy that is opposition to God, and everything that God is doing in your life and everything that is prompting in your, that God is prompting in your life, the enemy of God is seeking to tear down and destroy what God says is best for you and for me. And so we want to be prepared. We want to be equipped. We want to know the schemes of the devil. That's the enemy of God, according to scripture. We want to know how this battle takes place so that we can live in the victory that is promised to us in the good news of the gospel. So as we step into Romans 12 this morning, we are stepping into a very important aspect of this battle. It's the battle between forgiveness and bitterness. The battle between forgiveness and bitterness. And this is a battle that is being fought in your life every single day. So let me invite you, if you would be willing and able, to stand with me as I read our scripture for this morning from Romans 12. And as you're standing around the room, if you're new to Shandon, the reason we do this is so that we can all be reminded when we turn our attention to God's word, that his word is our authority as a people of God. His word reveals what God says is right and good and true. And so we wanna seek to live our lives and walk in step with the word of God. So this is what the scripture reveals. Romans 12, beginning in verse 17. The Apostle Paul writes this: repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord. As we step into this very important topic of forgiveness, would you pray with me that God would speak into our lives here this morning? Father, it is a gift to be able to come before you as your church, your body, and to turn our attention to your word. And so it is my prayer, Lord, that your word would do exactly what you promise it will do, that it would not return void, but that it would speak into our lives and reveal to us that which we need to see and hear. I pray, Lord God, that we would not be the same as what as a result of what you say. Pray, Lord God, that you would use your word to lead many to freedom. We look to you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Thank you for praying. And I want to lay out a statement right up front that it's somewhat of an emphatic statement. You may consider this a bold statement, but as it relates to the topic of forgiveness, this is a statement that I believe is incredibly important for us to see right up front. The statement is this: there is no such thing as a healthy and thriving Christian life apart from forgiveness. There is no such thing as a healthy and thriving Christian life apart from forgiveness. And you may be here this morning, or you may be joining us online saying, yeah, that's pretty obvious. If you know anything about the Bible, if you know anything about the Christian life, you know that forgiveness is central to the Christian message. And certainly we often talk about the forgiveness of God and the personal need that we have for our sins to be forgiven so that we can be made right with God. And that's the good news of the message of the gospel, that God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves, that God through his son, Jesus Christ, and his death at the cross and his power of his resurrection, he has defeated sin and death, and he has offered us the gift of forgiveness. But what we often fail to step into in the conversation of forgiveness is that forgiveness was never intended to stop with us. And certainly as we gather together and talk about forgiveness, we want to hear that our sins are forgiven. That is good news. That is great news of the gospel. But the difficult conversation in a conversation on forgiveness is that forgiveness is supposed to flow through us to others. That through the power of the forgiveness we have received, we are then to turn and forgive others for the wrongs they have committed against us. And that is a difficult, difficult reality. See, the enemy of God knows this. He knows that forgiveness is never easy. And the enemy of God wants to convince you and convince me that the way we have power over those who have wronged us is actually by refusing to forgive. The way we have power over those who have hurt us or caused pain in our life is to hold a grudge, is to grow in bitterness, or to retaliate, or to seek revenge and retribution for the wrong that has been done to us. As we see in the Word of God, refusing to forgive actually causes a wound to just become infected. And when a wound becomes infected over time, that infection just gets worse and worse. It does not heal. It gets worse and worse to the point that it begins to impact every aspect of our life. There's a very important statement in John chapter 10 that I want to read before we dive back into Romans 12, because it really sets the tone for this conversation. In John chapter 10, Jesus makes a statement about how the enemy of God works, and then he follows it up with a statement of how he works in the life of one who trusts in him. John 10:10 says this: "The thief, the enemy of God, the devil, comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And the truth of this statement is so clearly on display in the battle between forgiveness and bitterness that is being fought in our lives. Forgiveness will set you free. But bitterness will steal, kill, and destroy you from the inside out. So with that in mind, we enter into a very important conversation, and I recognize this is going to be a challenging conversation for many of us here today. This is a very personal conversation. But the Word of God will be our guide as we navigate this time. Go back to Romans 12, verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. As we talk about forgiveness, we start with this. Forgiveness is always a choice. You will never just stumble into forgiveness. You will never just accidentally start to forgive people. It is always a choice. I love this statement from Pastor Bruce Frank at Biltmore Church in Asheville. He says, choosing forgiveness is the gospel-driven decision to release a person from the debt they owe you. It is always a choice. Why does the scripture say, repay no one evil for evil? Because revenge is our natural instinct. Revenge is our gut response to someone who has wronged us. You wrong me, I will wrong you. You hurt me, I will hurt you. You cause me pain, I'm done with you. I don't want to be around you. That's our natural response to the wounds that are inflicted by others. And God is saying, wait. You must understand that there is an opportunity to make a choice for things to actually be different, because you cannot fight sin with sin. When you try to fight sin with sin, the only possible winner is sin. Even when it feels justified and fair to respond to evil with evil, the only possible winner when you put evil against evil is evil. So the scripture says, give thought. Recognize that there is a choice to respond a different way. Make a choice to respond in what God says is an honorable way. Not to retaliate, not to hold a grudge, but to forgive. And then we get this incredible statement in verse 18, a statement that is actually very freeing when it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. You see, the scripture is saying here that many times the people who have wronged us will not want to reconcile. Many times the people who have wronged you will not even acknowledge what they've done and the pain that they've caused. Many times the people who have hurt you the most will not apologize. They will not repent. They will not ask for forgiveness. And if you're waiting on them to first make amends for what they've done, you just might be waiting your entire life to no avail. That's what's so difficult in this conversation. We are called to forgive regardless of how the perpetrator responds to the wrongs they have committed. But this is what we see in Jesus. This is what we see in Jesus. I want to take you to the place in scripture where Jesus is on the cross, and we're going to see a statement that many of you will be familiar with. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. A prayer that Jesus offers from the cross as he is hanging on the cross, a prayer for those who are actively participating in his execution. Listen to what Jesus prays. Father, forgive them if they apologize. No, Jesus prays, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't even realize the depth of the wrong that's being committed. They don't even understand the ramifications of what is happening right now. They don't even see how sinful they are. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Praise God that he does not wait for an apology from those who put him on the cross. Oh, by the way, that includes you and me. Praise God that Jesus does not wait for us to beg and grovel before forgiveness is offered. You see, this is actually a very personal prayer for each of our lives. Because we can see the sin of others very clearly, can't we? The things that they've done, oh, we know what they've done. But Jesus reminds us, you don't even know what you've done. You might clearly see the way others have wronged you, but you can't even begin to grasp the way the sin in your life has wronged others, and you can't even begin to grasp the sin that you have committed against me, Jesus says. If you knew what you truly have done in your sin, you would throw yourself at the foot of the cross in worship at the forgiveness that is being offered to you. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It may not be possible to have peace with those who have wronged you, but the scripture says, do everything that you can do. Which means start with forgiving the wrong that has been committed. Start with forgiving the one who has hurt you. If possible, strive for peace. It may not be possible. It takes two to reconcile. It's not a one-way street. But you can offer forgiveness. Forgiveness that can start to set you free from what has been done. Before we move on to the next point, one final thought from verses 17 and 18 that I would draw your attention to is both of these verses end with the word all. Do what is honorable in the sight of all. Verse 17, verse 18, live peaceably, if possible, with all. This is so incredibly important as it relates to the choice between forgiveness and bitterness. Because here's the reality. If you are bitter at one, you cannot have peace with anyone. If you are bitter at one, you cannot have peace with anyone. Bitterness impacts every relationship we have. Bitterness impacts every area of our life. So refusing to forgive does not just impact the relationship with the one who has wronged us. No, refusing to forgive impacts every relationship that you have. So choose forgiveness. Secondly, Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says this, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Forgiveness trusts the sovereignty of God. We're gonna deal with our theological convictions for just a moment. Forgiveness trusts the sovereignty of God. That means forgiveness trusts that God is in control. But have you ever had the thought, I can't forgive, I can't let this go because I don't want the one who wronged me to get away with it. I mean, I don't want him to get off scot-free, right? I mean, justice needs to be served here. They need to pay for what they have done. I can't just let them go. If I forgive them, they get a free pass. But here's the challenge. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, if you believe that God is in fact in control, that he is reigning and ruling over all things, to say that I can't forgive because I don't want that person to get away with it, or I don't want them to have a free pass, it's actually revealing you have a very low view of God. It's actually revealing that you think God does not see injustice. And please hear me, don't miss this. This is incredibly important. God sees everything. And equally as important, no one will get away with anything. No one. That's you, that's me, that's the person that has wronged you the greatest in your life. No one will get away with anything. And that's sobering to hear. Some of you need to hear that as it relates to your life right now. You think you're getting away with stuff. No one gets away with anything if God is sovereign, if God is holy, if God is in fact just, as the scripture says that he is. You see, the reality is either Christ will pay the full penalty for your sin as you acknowledge your need for the Savior, or you will pay the full penalty for your sin in hell. That's what the scripture reveals. The same is true for those who have wronged you. Either Christ will pay the full penalty for their sin as they acknowledge their need for the Savior and trust in him, or they will pay the full penalty for their sin in hell. No one gets away with anything. God is a God of justice. God is going to do something about every act of injustice that has ever been committed. And this is why the cross of Jesus Christ is horrifyingly beautiful. The cross of Jesus Christ is horrifyingly beautiful. It is horrifying because it gives us a picture of how God deals with sin. You realize that at the cross of Jesus Christ, as the wrath of God is poured out on Jesus Christ the Son, as he dies for the sin of the world, we are seeing the way God deals with sin. We are seeing the way God deals with injustice. All the sin of the world taken on the back of Christ is punished in a very horrifying manner. It's horrifying to consider the way God deals with sin that has not been forgiven. But oh, the cross is beautiful. The cross is so beautiful because the cross shows us the love of God. The cross shows us what God was willing to do to invite us into the gift of his love. The cross shows us the length that God was willing to go so that we could be forgiven and made right with him for all of eternity. The cross shows us the power of forgiveness in action. So please hear this. God has this justice thing wrapped up. He's got it under control. No one gets away with anything. Either their sin is paid for at the cross, or their sin will be paid for all of eternity. When you trust that God is just and that God is gracious and God is merciful, and God is kind and God is compassionate, then you can trust that God will deal with sin in a way that justice will be served, and you are invited to live in the freedom of forgiveness. That's what we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Forgiveness leads to freedom. Forgiveness leads to freedom. To the contrary, it says in Romans 12, 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. And there is a level of freedom that is described in this verse that is beyond what most people can imagine. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If your enemy's thirsty, give him something to drink. I mean, how can this kind of love be real? I mean, where is this a reality? Can this be possible? I mean, this is the kind of behavior that would certainly stand out in our culture today. And didn't we see it so beautifully displayed 3 years ago, June the 17th, 2015, in Charleston, South Carolina? One of the most horrific hate crimes of racism in my lifetime was committed. Dylan Roof went into Emmanuel AME Church to start a race war. That's his words. Walked into a Bible study happening in the basement of Emmanuel AME and executed 9 members of that Bible study. Certainly the nation was horrified. There was outrage, rightfully so. And didn't the nation hold its breath? Because as we've seen too often, in crimes of hate and crimes of racism, there is so often a violent response. There's rioting and there's all kinds of things that happen. Evil against evil, sin against sin, only sin can win. That's what the scripture says. But instead, in Charleston, South Carolina, 3 days after this horrific act of evil took place, one by one, the families of those who had lost loved ones stood up in a courtroom in front of a judge as Dylan Roof was on a live stream TV. And they said, "We forgive you. You have hurt us deeply. We forgive you. We are praying for you. We are praying for your soul." And the world was shocked. How do you do this to a racist? How do you respond this way to someone who seems to be the embodiment of evil? The only possible answer is fueled by love, trusting the sovereignty of God. These families who had suffered horrific pain knew that forgiveness was the only path to freedom. And certainly they have experienced when a wrong is committed against you, it's always painful. But when a wrong is committed to you against you, it sets your life on one of two directions. You either set off on the journey that is fueled by forgiveness that will lead to freedom, or you set off on a journey that is fueled by bitterness and can only lead to bondage. Both paths are painful. Forgiveness does not take away the reality of the pain that you have endured or are enduring. Forgiveness does not allow you to just simply forget what happened. But forgiveness allows you to be free from the controlling power of the one who caused the pain. Forgiveness is the path to freedom. You will either remember the wrongs committed against you through the lens of God's grace and mercy in your life, or you will remember the wrongs committed against you through the lens of bitterness that will cause the pain to drive your life. Only forgiveness heals old wounds. Time does not heal old wounds. Time causes old wounds to fester. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 talks about how old wounds can cause bitterness to grow in our heart. Hebrews 12:15 says this, "See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled." You see, the writer of Hebrews is saying here that bitterness actually reveals that we do not understand the grace of God. Bitterness reveals that we don't understand what God has done for us through the cross of Jesus Christ. And bitterness, here's the reality about bitterness. It's one of these difficult topics because nobody wants to admit that they're bitter. And certainly no one wants to be bitter. I mean, I can assure you, if we went around the room and asked everyone to say, what were your New Year's resolutions at the beginning of this month for 2019, there would not be a person among us who would say, you know, one of my resolutions is that I would just grow in bitterness in 2019. That I could get to the end of the year and I could look back and say, I am more bitter now than I was at the beginning of the year. That's my goal. Of course we wouldn't say that. No one wants to be bitter. No one wants to grow in bitterness, but for many, that is exactly what is happening right now in your heart as you refuse to forgive. I love this quote from Jerry Bridges. He writes, "Resentment, bitterness, and self-pity build up inside our hearts and eat away at our spiritual lives like a slowly spreading cancer." You see, forgiveness is the cure for the cancer of bitterness, and refusing to forgive is like saying, I would rather have cancer than be healed. I've heard it said this way, that bitterness is like drinking poison and hoping the person who harmed us gets sick. It does not work. You either choose the pain and the slow death of bitterness, or you choose the freedom of forgiveness. And finally, as we close, as a beautiful gospel reminder, we get Romans chapter 20, verse 21. It says this, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." How do we overcome evil with good? We fix our eyes on Jesus. Forgiveness fixes our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on the one who overcame evil with good. We look to the cross. We see what God has done for us in the midst of our personal sin and evil against him. We look to the good news of the gospel. C.S. Lewis famously wrote, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you." This is the power to forgive. When you recognize what you have been forgiven, Jesus is saying forgiveness is the fruit of knowing that you are forgiven. Refusing to forgive is to act like you are totally unaware of the forgiveness that has been offered to you through Jesus Christ. Forgiveness flows out of forgiveness. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not give the enemy a foothold in your life through bitterness. Look to Jesus. See the incredible gift that has been offered to you. We're gonna close a little different way today in an attempt to create an image in your mind as you leave of the power of forgiveness and the bondage of bitterness being broken in your heart through forgiveness. We've got these little sticks all around the room. They're on the ends of each pew. If you don't have one yet, They're gonna be passed down right now. If you're on the end, would you pass these down and make sure everybody has one of these little wooden sticks? And then if you would, grab a pen from the pew, or if you have a pen in your pocket or your purse or you've been taking notes, just make sure you have the opportunity to grab a pen. And here's what I want you to do with your pen and with your little wooden stick. This is just between you and the Lord. Nobody else is gonna read this or see this. What I wanna ask you to do, I'm gonna do this as well. I want you to write down the name or the names of the people in your life that you've actually been thinking about throughout this entire message. You heard the message was about forgiveness and bitterness, and you immediately started to think of some names that make your stomach churn. You know who you're harboring bitterness against. You know who you've refused to forgive up until this point in your life. You know who has more power in your life than they should. So I just want to ask you, write their initials. You don't have to write their full name. If they're sitting beside you, you might want to cover up your stick a little bit. But this is just between you and the Lord. Just take a moment, write the name, write the initials. It may be more than one. You can write out what happened if you want to do that. Who is it that when their name is brought up, you can't say anything good about them? Who is it that when they're mentioned in a conversation, the hair on the back of your neck stands up, your skin crawls because of what they've done? It may have happened recently. It could have been something that happened years ago. It may even be someone who's no longer alive. You've never been able to let it go. It's been driving your life. It's been dictating your life. The people around you, they know there's bitterness alive in your heart. You've never dealt with it. You've never forgiven. We're going to have a moment just going before the Lord as these are written down. I'm going to do this as well. The Lord was prompting me this morning with something that I know I've got to lay down. So in a moment with the Lord, as the Spirit of God is moving among us, we're going to ask the Lord to give us the power to forgive. And as I pray, I want to even give you the moment in the midst of the prayer that we'll do this in a moment. Don't do this yet. I want to give you an opportunity just to break this stick in half so that we'll hear it. We'll hear the bondage of bitterness breaking in your hands and recognize that this is coming as a gift from God. This is not about your strength. This is about His strength through you. This is not about you doing something that you have not received. This is about you responding to the forgiveness that you've received through Christ by being willing to forgive someone else so that it no longer has power in your life. This is a spiritual battle that is totally ruling some of your lives. You're losing the battle. And today I want to invite you. I want to invite you to step into victory, to say, I'm willing to forgive. I need to forgive. The bondage of bitterness is broken so that I can be free. And then we'll give you a moment after we pray just to come and throw your broken sticks in these buckets here at the front. Let this be your altar. Just come and lay this at the altar, just entrusting it to the Lord. Don't take it out of here with you. Leave it at the altar. And trust the incredible power of forgiveness to have its way in your heart. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you now, and it's heavy, it is personal, it's painful. For some in this room, they're thinking about some things that happened to them even this weekend. For some in this room, they're thinking about some things that took place years ago, and yet it continues to cause pain in their life. Lord, I pray that today would be a day of freedom. Oh, I pray in the midst of this spiritual battle that you would break the bonds of bitterness, even now, that all around the room, the bonds of bitterness would be broken. And Lord, I pray that this sound would just float up to heaven and the good news of your forgiveness for us, and that you would come and meet us in our hearts in this place now, setting us free in the power of forgiveness. Oh Lord, how grateful we are for the cross of Jesus Christ that has taken our sin and not given us what we deserve, but instead has given us that which we don't deserve, the incredible grace, the incredible mercy, the incredible forgiveness that comes to those who trust in you. I pray, Lord God, that we would walk in the power of that forgiveness, trusting that you are sovereign over all. The path of freedom that comes when we lay it all down at your feet. And so we do that now. We trust you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Would you come as you feel led, just lay your sticks at the altar. We're going to worship together as we close our time and just sing in response to who God is and to what he has done. Just as you come, we want you to know in the balcony, there's buckets up top. You're welcome to make your way down to the altar if you want to do that. Symbolically, feel free to do so from the balcony, but we do have buckets up there as well for you. No one's going to see these names. No one's going to know what was on that piece of wood other than you and the Lord. We trust that the Spirit of God is moving here today. We trust that some of you are experiencing freedom in a way that you never have before. As you're waiting in line, just listen to me for a moment, and then we're going to enter into a time of singing as we respond to the Lord. But I do want you to know, if you're here today, even as you come and lay your sticks at the altar and you need to pray with someone, or you need to talk to someone about something that's happened to you, or you need to talk to someone about a relationship with Jesus Christ, we want you to know at the conclusion of this service, right outside of our center doors here in this room, we have a Next Steps room, an area where there are volunteers ready to pray with you, ready to talk to you about whatever God may be stirring up in your life. And so we just want you to know that's available. Don't leave here today if God's stirring in your heart and you know you need to talk to someone or you need to take a step of faith. Perhaps it's to respond to something you've seen or heard today in a very personal way. We would encourage you to do so. As you continue to make your way forward, I just want to invite everyone else to stand around the room. Let's stand together. And we're going to enter into this moment of responding through worship. The altar is going to remain open as more people come. But let's sing to the Lord in response to the good news of the gospel and the incredible gift of forgiveness that he has offered us through Jesus Christ.